All right, so that's where that's at. What am I going to do? Oh, I got to tell you, first of all, I don't have a cold. I fucked my throat up somehow. I don't know where, I don't know how, but I fucked it up, and you can hear there's a strain there. So doing Margaret is going to be a real bitch, and you can hear. So doing Margaret is going to be a real bitch. You can hear the sort of the sound, you know, and I realize that there's a sort of impurity to all that's happening here, but I just cannot fucking abide any longer what I've been listening to. No, I don't want to do that, man. I got the master is, it's enough that I'm compressing that motherfucker. I do this.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, Phil.
Well, Margaret, you're the one.
No, I am not the one.
Yeah, you did. You said it wasn't. You know, maybe it'll, look at this, Jim Gaffigan. Jim Gaffigan's getting ripped by fucking Oberman? Jim Gaffigan's a nice man. He's a comic. Oh, he's on Oberman right now. Okay, awesome. I got to listen to Jim Gaffigan. I haven't heard Jim Gaffigan lately. By the way, we just had another Science of the Funny today with two of the brilliant stars of Upright Citizens Brigade, one from Saturday Night Live, Horatio Sanz, who you guys know I've been talking with. Horatio has helped me out with my one-man show. And he was with us. And Matt Besser, who you will hear David Koechner sing the praises of Matt Besser in our first episode. Then Matt comes on the second episode. Matt is one of the founding four of Upright Citizens Brigade. Funny as fuck, creative as hell, great, terrific teacher. And I would say a pretty pure artist, you know. What is this, man? 1111111111. God, I just don't trust any of this shit, you know? Testing. So as long as you're not hitting the microphone, this room, this is a fucking phenomenon. So, yeah. Okay, what I got here, the compression's on, and the limiter's on the master. On the mic, I got gating cranked pretty good because it just shuts down all the fucking room noise. And I also have the compression on. And when we go over to the phone, you know, we have the similar situation sort of, except there's no gating on the phone. Isn't that right, Larry Grover?
You know, I don't know, Phil. I don't do, you know, this is not a language that I speak. This is not a language I speak. I'm not familiar with it. I could give a shit. Not a language I speak. It's not a language that I speak, Phil. It's something that is foreign to me. I would say that it's look at that. Okay. It's foreign to me, Phil.
It's foreign to you. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's foreign.
How many times did the man have to say that, Phil?
Boy, you can really hear the Margaret voice. Then we go over here. All right, I'll wait. Fuck that. All right. Then we got sound effecty like this, man. Shit, sorry, that was fucked up. God damn it. Watch this, man. Do some here. Okay, that's now. Yeah. See, I don't know, man, but I'm going to roll with that. See, again, I'm rolling with some compression here. The gate I'm only using on the mic. And that's it. I'm only using the gate on the mic because we need it, man. I don't know what to tell you. You know. One of the things that Matt Besser was talking about today that you will hear exclusively on The Science of the Funny, which I thought was a really good comment, he said that most podcasts are really sloppy. They're unprofessional sounding. People are meandering in and out of conversation. They think it's just a matter of sitting there and being funny. So you've got a lot of, you know, if you listen to podcasts, you know the good ones. 1111. God damn, man. If you listen to podcasts, You know the good, you know the good ones. And you know the good ones. Okay, so what am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is this. You know the ones that are excellent, and you know the ones that you want to download, and you know the ones that you want to listen to every day, and you know, it's a beautiful thing. What you don't hear, you know what, I've got my mind on a million different things here. Hold on for a minute. What we do not, what we don't necessarily hear. See, I had turned this down. That's what happened, man. Test, 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 test. Testing Phil Henry Show. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Hi, it's Phil. 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 Hello there, it's Phil. And this is the Phil Henry Show. Larry, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine now, Phil. I feel strong. I feel good. I feel like I could kick the shit out of life, you know? And just, I don't know what it is, but I just do. I just feel as if I could kick hell out of life.
You feel you could kick hell out of life? You feel you could kick hell out of life? That's too fucking loud. You feel you could kick hell out of life? Is that it, Larry?
Yes, I do, Phil. I feel like I could really kick the shit out of life, you know? And, you know, for me, it's one of those wonderful moments, you know. It really is. It's one of those wonderful moments.
Well, I certainly hear you, man.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you hear me.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Fine.
Great.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Testing 1, 2.
Testing 1, 2.
You mocking me?
No. Are you mimicking me?
Are you doing me?
Are you doing me?
All right. Fuck! Every time I come around, fuck around is going down. So, God damn it. What was I saying? I completely fucking forgot what I was saying. God damn it. Oh, podcasting. So I thought Matt was making a good point. He said, if you listen, a lot of it's really sloppy. It's they don't know how to fucking, you know, you're starting a presentation, and like any presentation, like a book, for instance, you know, you should start your show. I've always believed you should start your show sort of, you know, with something big. I mean, you know, bang, you know, here's the characters talking about something. There's a direction, there's a focus, there's a rationale, there's a raison French, you know. And you go, man, you go, hi, it's the show, here's where we're going. You don't just flop about and say, oh, you know, my husband and my wife. That doesn't make it happen. Such as all great books, we remember the first line. Yes, we do. My name is Ishmael. Moby Dick. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Tale of Two Cities. Your mama and your sister, too. The story of Phil Henry. And so it goes. And, you know, you this is what is memorable, man. You got to remember what we remember these things. We don't remember this kind of meandering shit. So he was talking about, I said, you know, that's a really good point. I said, however, I said, talent will out, you know, and what happens is this. You're going to, I'll never forget, you know who said that to me? Said it to me about my show. He said, it was Rush Limbaugh who said it at Brian Glicklick's wedding reception. He said, Phil, I've heard your show and I like it. It's really great. And at the time, this was back in 2006 or five, I said, I'm really struggling, man. I'm struggling with affiliates. I'm struggling with advertising. He goes, don't worry, talent will out. Now, despite what you may think of Rush Limbaugh, I've never, ever held some guy's political bullshit against him. You know, if he's a great broadcaster, if I consider him to be a pro, you know, that's why I don't give a shit if a guy's a conservative or liberal. I just give a shit that he does good work on the radio. That's why most conservatives and most liberals suck fucking dick on the air. They suck. You know, they just fuck. They're not broadcasters. They got no business being near a fucking microphone. You know, Randy Rhodes is a great broadcaster. She's a liberal. I love listening to her. Rush Limbaugh is a great broadcaster, although I think, you know, he's probably sick and fucking tired of doing that show, to be honest with you. But at his best, he's a great broadcaster, and he's very listenable to me. I don't give a flying fuck what he's talking about. I want to hear how people do things. I say this to most people, and they don't understand this. And with all due respect to you guys, many of you probably don't really understand what I'm saying right now either. You think it's all about, well, what do you think of Rush Limbaugh? And every time they ask me that, as I've said to you many times, I always wonder, well, what are they asking me, man? They ask me, what do I think of him as a radio talent? Or what do I think of him, of his politics? You know, if I say, oh, I think he's a great broadcaster, they have no fucking idea what to say to that, because most people are just like, it's all about what the guy is saying. What do I think of Keith Olbermann? I think Keith Olbermann's a great fucking broadcaster. He's a great performer. You see, that's what it's about, man. And there are times when Keith Olbermann cracks me up. And yeah, there's times when the cat pisses me off because of some of his opinions. But as a, I'll tell you this, I always stop down and I watch Keith Olbermann. When I'm flipping through the channels and there's Keith Olbermann, bam, man, I stick around to wait to see what he's got to say. You know, I don't get all fucking crazy about the fact that I may disagree with some shit. He's, you know, a lot of you guys give these motherfuckers way too much fucking power, man. You think that, like, for instance, it just could be anybody, man. It could be, you know, you just give them way too much power. A lot of people go fucking apeshit because, did you hear what he said? You know, and because they think that cat is going to influence billions and billions of fucking people into doing all kinds of shit. I think an argument can be made that while they do influence their really hardcore fans, of which there are generally a lot fewer than you think, while, for instance, Rush Limbaugh has, let's say Rush at his peak was doing, what, 12 million listeners a week? Okay? There's a very, very small percentage of that are actually hardcore, never miss the show kind of listeners. That's the truth. Most of that number are casual listeners, people that listen and like the show, but they're not fucking writing fan mail. They're not going out and painting signs and going off and doing shit that Rush tells them to do. They're not running out and buying Snapple because Rush said that. There is a core of those kinds of fans, but same thing with Howard, you know, or anybody, me. You know, there's a hardcore group of people that really, and those people are very, very valuable when it comes to just, you know, activist listeners. But they do not represent the larger number that will be reflected, say, in any rating service. So if a guy comes in with 12 million listeners a week, just like, for instance, today, we were talking about that, and Matt said, I got 100,000 people that follow me on Twitter. He said, I don't have 100,000 fans. He said, I'd be happy if half of those people were real motivated fans who would go out and buy my CDs, go out and buy tickets to my shows, this kind of thing. And I said, I know what you're saying. That I'd say that number is probably pretty accurate, man. I'd say about 50%. If you look at Twitter, about 50% of the people that are following you on Twitter are real, I would say, motivated, hardcore, you know, fans of yours. And then, you know, God knows the rest of them are just people, oh, this guy said something funny, I think I'll follow him for a while, and then they unfollow you, and then some more people follow you, and, oh, I really thought that tweet was funny. Or, you know, a favorite person of theirs retweeted something you said, you know, or gave you a check mark, whatever the fuck, you know. I'm watching Dan the Bastard here. I'm going to have to turn the channel here, Dan, because I can't. You guys look like you're having way too much fucking fun, man, and I cannot. If I can't join in on this fun, I am turning the bitch channel. The bitch channel. I got SportsCenter over here, and over here I got UFC. Now, fuck that. Oh, no. Fuck that. No. Oh, look at this. Classic boxing. Awesome. It's Ali versus Wepner. It is. It's Ali and Wepner on ESPN Classic Boxing. Ah, ha, ha. he destroyed Wepner. Although, you know, it wasn't as... Wepner just kept taking these shots from Ali. I think, what did Ali say later on? Something along the lines of, you were a real bum. I don't know, I'm just kidding. I remember he kept tagging Wepner in the face. I mean, I'm looking at this fight right now, and he just keep, every punch is tagging, and Wepner is swinging wild. And here's Ali now. He's dancing. There's another. He landed a left hand. At will, he's hitting Wepner. He hits him again with a left hand, and Wepner kind of tries to duck the punch and go for the body. Can't do it. And he looks out of shape, too, Wepner. He's got a gut on him. He had these big fucking baggy stupid shorts. And I don't know. There, this left hand, Ali was using this left hand that Wepner was unable to defeat. He couldn't do anything about Ali's left, this jab that he kept throwing. And that's what did all this fucking damage. Because I could see on the right side of Wepner's face, there's like the right eye is all fucked up. You know, all fucked up. All right. Chuck Wepner's face looks like fresh red meat. Howard Cosell. All right, Margaret.
Well, I don't know. This is my throat. I'll just say that I have a cold. How's that?
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Well, Phil, I'm so sorry that I'm disappointing you tonight.
Well, you don't have to. We're going to have Larry Grover on. Larry's going to talk about...
Well, look, so I understand everyone's sick. I don't want to bother you, but my feeling is the following. Hey, Phil, why don't you talk about Chuck Wepner? Chuck Wepner...
I saw Chuck... Actually, Chuck Wepner... There's a very good story about Chuck Wepner on one of the sports shows. I don't know which one it was, but... It was quite... it was interesting. And not at all the portrait of a man that I expected. You know, let's face it. Those of us that remember Chuck Wepner, you kind of thought of him, he was a thick dumbass. You know, if I'm not mistaken, I may be thinking of somebody else. But he wasn't that at all. He was quite a smart guy. And he was a good fighter. You know, you got to be a good fighter to be matched up with the heavyweight champion of the world. I mean, Ali wasn't just walking around fighting any bum. He was fighting guys. And Ali fought every fucking contender. He fought every motherfucker that contended for the heavyweight championship of the world. Ali fought and beat. And beat. Yeah, a couple of them beat him. Frazier beat him. Norton beat him. Jimmy Young. Some people argue Jimmy Young beat him, but he didn't. He fought everybody and he beat everybody. And then he went and looked for guys that, you know, maybe contenders. I mean, because he never escaped. When Ali was the heavyweight champion of the world, you got to understand, this was March 24th, 1975. I know exactly where I was. I was here in California. I was over at my friend Don's house. His mom's house, actually, where everybody was hanging that day, and I was watching this fucking fight. I think I was watching it with Don's kid brother, Danny. And at the time, I was 20. I just turned 22. Danny was probably 16 or 17. And I remember we were laughing because Wepner just looked like hell. You know, he was, by the end of the fight, his face was just streaked with blood. And he wore himself out, too. The rope-a-dope worked wonders on Chuck Wepner. He just, he didn't get it, and Ali just, you know. And Ali just suckered him in with that fucking rope-a-dope, which he had perfected, or at least, didn't Ali introduce the rope-a-dope in the Rumble in the Jungle? I'm giving you this sideways look. I don't know. All right, so here's what we're going to do. That fucking camera was working, by the way, and I don't know why it doesn't anymore, but it was. Larry Grover. And Larry's going to be, where am I, Mother?
Oh, Larry, I don't give a fuck where you, you really kill me.
Mother, would you watch your language and the things that you do? Look at this, here's River. And where are you, Larry?
Phil, I'm out. I'm here at the Brown River in Northern California, and I'll tell you why, because I want to just relax for the first time in my life. Relax and enjoy some brown trout fishing. And it's lovely here near the Brown The Brown River.
The Brown River?
No, it's not.
Larry, it's not the Brown River. It's the Brown... It's...
Where is it?
Hold on. Yes, it is the Brown River.
You're fishing for brown trout.
Oh, it's... We're in Bishop, California, Phil.
Oh, you're up in Bishop. Yeah, the brown trout fishing is excellent there.
Oh, are you a trout fisherman?
No, I'm not, but friends of mine are.
Okay, see.
All right, Larry, so you got one over Phil. You fish for trout. Phil, you know, I made a joke about the trouser trout, and...
Give me the phone, you...
You started to call me a fucking whore.
Yes, so what if I did?
Oh, you ever do that, Larry?
All right. Whew. The trouser trout, man. Beware. Chris, how you doing, man?
Phil, I'm up here. I'm fishing with Larry, but I brought along some... I'm doing great, Phil. Welcome to Chris Norton, Norton Splits Entertainment. I'm Chris Norton, and my father, Dester... I was talking to Dester the other day, and Alessandra... Dester Baster.
Who? Who is Dester Baster?
I didn't say it. I said Dester Baxter. God damn it.
Oh, Dexter Baxter.
Yeah, that's right, old man. Shit.
Hey, you see an old man, you come on down and give him a little kick in the ass.
Hey, General, I'm just trying to do the things that I want to do.
All right, Chris Norton is welcoming us to his new Norton Explodes Emporium. His new film is called what? We got 9 minutes here, man. We got 9 minutes here, man. Okay. Norton Splodes Entertainment. Hey, everybody, it's Norton Splode. Fuck. Okay. Oh, God. So did you guys see the whole Confederate flag thing? It was rather emotional, that one lady. You know, I think it was significant that she was a Republican. In other words, she was a member of a party that I guess probably people would think would be more in support of keeping the Confederate flag, the Republican Party, because it's more about, you know, individual states' rights and all that stuff. But she was being, that woman's name, I think, was Horn, if I'm not mistaken, Jennifer. The fact that she was a Republican, you know, it just shows, man, that, you know, this got nothing to do with fucking Republican or Democrat. That motherfucking flag is just a fucking rag. You know, that's all there is to it. Yeah, this whole fucking Southern heritage bullshit, to me, those are people that say the following thing. Yeah, I understand about civil rights, but goddamn, man. You know, I got one foot in that fucking good old states' rights segregation shit. That's exactly what that shit means. Because if you ask somebody, okay, well, what is Southern culture or Southern heritage or whatever the bullshit is you're talking about, and then you ask them, okay, now, in that description that you just laid on me, where do black people fit? They never fucking have any kind of an intelligent answer. It's always some silly-ass, stupid, fanciful answer that they didn't check out with any real, you know, opinionated and informed black person. It was just, you know, they saw a picture of some dude, some black guy with a Confederate fucking flag and said, see, look, you know, talk about the ultimate in, by the way, one of the color commentators on this fight was Red Fox. And we were talking today with Dave Nussbaum, and Dave Nuzzy, as we call him, used to be the host of the Decently Funny podcast. Now Dave is involved in the work of bringing holograms and holographics onto stages. And the company that he's with is the company that brought the Tupac hologram, I don't know what it's called, on stage there at Coachella. And they're going to be doing it now with, testing. They're going to be doing it with, okay, so there's that. Let me see something here, man.
All right, so do you want me to? What do you want me to do, Phil? You want me to say anything?
Yeah, just say hi.
Hi, Phil. It's Larry Grover.
Okay, and this is me.
All right, and this is me. So, didn't we already do this?
We did. I'm just looking. Okay.
Phil, I don't know. I don't think you're doing this right.
Oh, okay.
That's what she said. Yeah.
This is going to be really rough today, man. I'm going to have to come up with some bullshit about, you know.
Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. Larry Grover here. And, you know, we're up at Bishop Phil. This is a nice place to be. It's a great place to fish. There's a lot of...
And how is the fishing? It's fine.
It's good.
And how is the fishing, Larry?
I just said it's fine. Cut.
How is the... Phil Henry here, and... I don't know where to put this fucking... Phil Henry here, testing 1, 2, 3. All right, so if I'm just talking at this tone of voice, and I don't know. I just don't think that... I don't think it's that bad. Because I just gotta have some fucking... Test. All right. Testing 1, 2. All right, here we go. What am I looking for? Eyewitness. I don't know. I'm just telling you, man, I don't want to hear, you know, and it's like I said to you, you know, you guys yesterday, this is not a classical music show I'm doing here. You know, this is a spoken word thing. So I don't give a fuck if I don't hear the high ends of the violin and the low ends of the chop. That's not what this is about. That's not what this is about. The words that are, and the combined effect of effects and of characterization and sound effects, okay? And that has to have a certain sound and grooving on whether we're getting the real cool highs and the lows. Life doesn't sound like that. Life is, you know, loud and cacophonous and especially what I'm trying to create here. So when we worry too much about, you know, for instance, music, we have the limiter on the music, but I also added the compression because I want to flatten that fucking goddamn signal out as much as I can. Now I know. See? All right, it's my favorite song. You come and dance, you will take chance. You better watch your step, or you will get lanced, boy, boy. Or you will get pantsed, woy woy. Alright, so that's kind of a groove and a half, and that's kind of that's the bitchiness of that. Test. Fuck me. Fuck me running. Alright, and then we have, is this a mid-roll, man? When are we doing this, motherfucker? Mid-roll, okay, DraftKings mid-roll. All right, and then Larry Grover, Donald Trump, and then we have Chris Norton at the opening party for his new adult feature, Boneyard. Wait a minute, his new...
Phil, it's a new Chris, Phil, yeah, thank you, Phil. It's going to be my new Chris Norton film. It's called Boneyard, and Phil, it's going to be my new Chris Norton film. It's called Boneyard. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Man. Yeah, that's true, Phil. It's called Boneyard. That's right, Phil. It's called Boneyard. It's going to be really cool, and I think you're really going to dig it. You know, I'm not sure, you know, just, you know, test. I don't give a fuck. Test. Yes, right, Phil. It's called Boneyard. It's going to be a new film, and
okay, so this is called Boneyard, and when is it coming out?
Well, it's going to be coming out probably in 2 or 3 days, or, you know, I don't know, 4 days. I don't know.
Yeah, great. Okay.
I mean, I don't know that shit. That see it.
Every fucking night on this goddamn UFC channel, I'm looking at this fucking Irish fighter, this guy, what's his name, McGregor? Is there a big fight coming up with him? It's like he runs this fucking channel. Every time I see it, it's, there he is. I don't follow it, man. You know. You want to do that kind of fighting, I tell you what, why not have it not fight to the death? What about that? Fight to the fucking death. McGregor, that's his name. Most strikes landed per minute, UFC featherweight history. Conor McGregor, 5.7 strikes per minute, followed by Nam Phan, Max Holloway. Source, Fight Metric. Now, I'm being very serious. Why not fight to the fucking death? Someday they will. You mark my words. Now, where are we at, man? Okay, we got time. Here we go. It's time to go. Time to go. No, don't fuck around. Time to go. Boom. Bang. Boom. Ready? Set. Rocket. Rocket. Jesus Christ, on a fucking crutch. Come on, motherfucker. What the fuck are you doing, man? All right. Jesus. Hi, it's Phil Hendry on our show today. I will play the parts of all of the characters that you'll hear, with the exception of some take two. Hi, it's Phil Hendry on our show today. I will play the parts of all of the characters you'll hear. And some of us will have a little bit of a cold, or it's not even a cold. It's just something, I don't know, something I'm gargling with or something I'm drinking. I guess I have to quit drinking. Anyway, on the show today, you will hear me playing the parts of all of the characters, with the exception of some minor editing that we do to help with our production. We don't use any overdubbing or multi-tracking or any other production tricks. And our entire show is recorded in real time. That is, as it's happening. So sit back and relax and enjoy the world famous fucking cunt bitch fuck show. Hold on. What am I doing, man? Okay.